from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Got Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy coming up in about 20 minutes, but right now, we carried the Dallas Mavericks introductory press conference yesterday, and Corey, you went back and re-examined, and I know something's on your mind.
It wasn't that I went back and re-examined.
Okay, let me try again. Corey,
I got home.
I know something is on your mind.
I got home yesterday, and I turned the TV on, and when I turned the TV on, Bally is at the top of my list on Fubo for, I don't know why. I don't know what the reasoning is.
Because you're a DFW sports fan.
Maybe so. Maybe that's what point. It is. Maybe I set it as a favorite. I don't know. But they had the Mavs pregame on, and I was like, oh, or not the pregame, their presser. And so I was like, well, I might as well just turn it on and watch it and see if I missed anything. And I remembered hearing this question, and I think this was our very own Blake Elliott, by the way, right, that asked the question.
And Reggie cut that part out because him and Blake are feuding.
Wow. When did this feud start?
Right when he got here.
That makes sense.
Oh, my God.
How much of a rapport do you have with Jason Kidd? And if not, what intrigued you about him?
I mean, it's Jason Kidd. You seen his highlight tape? Still, like, Luka will throw crazy passes, but I still have not seen the passes made that Jay Kidd used to make to this day. And just learning from a Hall of Fame talent like that, someone who I really grew up idolizing and appreciating his game and his athleticism. He just has a mind for basketball, and I know we're all excited to play for him. Like, I'm just excited to ask him what it was like to guard Michael, then guard Kobe, and I got a lot of questions for him, really, because I grew up watching that whole era.
Kind of piggyback off Clay said, like, I mean, it's Jason Kidd, number one. Number two, just to be able to learn from Jason Kidd every single day is unbelievable honor, and I'm so excited to play for him, and yeah.
Jason Kidd, like they said, like, we've been practicing every day, picking his brain, just and seeing the game through like his lens, what he sees, and just being able to ask him questions about like what, like Clay said, guarding Michael, guarding Kobe, being in the finals and stuff like that. So I'm just excited to get to work, honestly.
I don't know how many other coaches, when the players are asked about him, are like, I mean, it's Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's Rick Carlisle we're talking about here, guys. I mean, maybe Pop. Maybe Pop's in that group where they're like, I mean, it's Greg Popovich we're talking about here.
Ask him about what it was like to guard Jordan.
Yeah.
And Dr. J.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, Bobby usually has a lot of nice things to say about Coach McCarthy.
Yeah, that's a good one there. But that's what I like Mike, you were pointing out during the season, and Jason Kidd struggled to win with the roster he had before the PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford additions. They weren't a well-built team at that point. They made those adjustments. Jason Kidd becomes a better coach because of it, because he has the tools to be able to go out there and do what he wants to do. And I'm sure he was in Nico's ear the whole time going, I need this. I still kind of need this. even as they were getting to this offseason, even during the finals run, they were probably saying to themselves, still kind of need a shooter. And so maybe Jason Kidd had all those things that he was still waiting on, and then finally he gets it. He looks like a better coach because of it. But all of these guys, Mike had been saying it all the time, Kyrie and Luka love him. I mean, Luka, I think on the level of talking about the position that they play, those two dudes might be some of the most knowledgeable guys in the that to ever play the game. And so I bet there's a lot of respect that goes back and forth in conversations about hoops with Luka and Jason Kidd. And then on the Kyrie front, Kyrie grew up loving him. And I do wonder, Kevin, how much New Jersey playing for the Nets had to do with like the love of other players that kind of grew up in that area and kind of watched him as a Net and everything. But I just didn't realize how much respect he has from current players. I know he has respect from older players, but current players about what he was as a player.
And I'm not saying, I swear I'm not saying this just because he's going to come on in about 15 minutes, but I think however you slice it, Boach is still going to be number one just because you listened to those players last year and like they weren't like, man, do you remember how good he was as a catcher? It was just like he gave them an introductory speech of 10 to 15 minutes. Every single person to a man, whenever we talk with them during spring training, we're like, oh my God, dude, I'm ready to go.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right effing now. So I could see Kidd being second.
Yeah. And all the players this year for the Rangers, as we were getting ready for this season, just they couldn't help but talk about the steadiness that is Bruce Bochy. And through this first part of the season, when it hasn't been that easy, he's somehow been able to maintain steadiness. Although, you know, I bet there's part of him that's just like, just throw me off this boat and just sink me all the way down. I don't want to have to deal with this right now.
In the history of basketball and other sports, the greatest players are the worst coaches. It looks like Jason Kidd is the one, not the only one, but one of the very few in the history of sports that is breaking that mold. So this is
Gretzky was terrible.
A rare time that players can say, I'm getting coached by a great former player. Most of the time, they're horrible coaches. But it looks like Jason Kidd is breaking that. So this is really the only guy in the NBA that players can say, man, he's one of the 10 greatest players at his position in the history of the sport. And I also want to be coached by him. Because usually it'd be like, I mean, let's face it, Kyrie didn't seem like he really liked being coached by Steve Nash. And Steve Nash isn't a hard ass.
Yeah.
I'd rather coach myself than him coach me.
Yeah, and I do wonder how much sometimes, you know, just philosophy in general, jiving with those same guys. Because did Steve Nash have a similar philosophy to Jason Kidd and the way that Jason Kidd, you know, preps and gets ready to play and wants to play compared to what Kyrie thinks, the way he thinks the game should be played? There's a certain way that he wants to be done, and he likes the way that they're in their place right now. So, but I think that Kidd, like just hearing it's Jason Kidd from Clay, from Najee, from Quentin. And I know there's three different levels of players. Clearly yesterday you could see Klay Thompson is a polished star. Whenever he's talking, you can hear all the thoughtful stuff. He's been asked all these questions a million times. I get all these different answers. I can go to my bag for a lot of stuff. And Quentin and Najee are kind of different guys that are like, look, I'm here for the Klay Thompson press conference.
I'm not going to lie. If I was one of those guys and they asked me to show up to the presser, I'd be like, I'll be there at the end, hold up my jersey. But like,
This is the Klay presser. This isn't mine.
And to be fair, right, the Dallas Media Corps did ask them some really interesting questions during the course of like the 45 minutes that they were talking.
Yeah.
So like there was some good insight, but it was clear. It was Klay Thompson was the main attraction.
I don't know if this would be the same for the fans, but my just thought based on like this presser, what we've heard from the Rangers, I feel like I would say the coach rankings per the players would go Boach. I mean, I know he's a manager. Kidd, DeBoer.
You don't think the Stars players love DeBoer as much as...
I think they love him a lot, but like I think it sounds like those two are pretty darn high. And I think Coach McCarthy would be last.
How much further down on the list? Like behind other sports in DFW? Is he fourth or is he maybe seventh or eighth?
No, I think there's a discernible gap.
I mean, what all teams are we putting in here?
I'm just using those four.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're adding other teams, because it seems like that's what Corey was asking.
I don't know about that. I think he was using that as an example to say he's so far down the list.
I'm just asking.
I think there's a gap. between DeBoer and McCarthy.
From the 806, I know we're only supposed to S in the Cowboys, and there's a fair argument that McCarthy's fourth in this town, but his players love him. The guys really seem to like him, and he's a player's coach.
It's obviously it's more difficult with a football
53,
team. 53-man
roster.
Exactly. And so I was going to say, some definitely do, but there's plenty who do not. But that might not be fair because you're talking about a roster of, 15, 26 versus 53. And so might not be a fair comparison.
In that instance, on a 53-man roster in football, I always do feel like maybe it's not you need to be liked by the whole team, but you need to be respected and sometimes feared, times. And maybe all those guys can't have the same feeling towards you at the same time, like you just said.
Yeah.
Belichick. It did feel like there were some guys that had, great respect for the organization that he had, so that every time they got to Saturday night's meeting told them, we are prepared for the game tomorrow. But there were other guys that were like, man, I'm afraid I might lose my job if I do anything wrong. And so there were different levels of players and what they needed from Bill Belichick along the way. And with McCarthy, it does seem like he tries his best to do a lot of things, but man, there's a lot of still circumventing that can be done where you're like, dude, what power do you really have in this organization?
See, and sometimes I struggle with this. I don't know, just like when you played, did you care at all if you liked your manager? Like if I just thought my manager, he knows what he's doing. Sometimes he's an a-hole about it, but he knows exactly what he's doing and he can get us to win. I feel like for me, I would be like, that works. That's good enough.
If most of the team doesn't like your manager,
you're going to be in trouble.
You'll
right?
find teams don't give their best effort.
Fascinating.
So that's the tough part. Yeah. Is because they're like, I don't care about this guy. Like, I don't want to sacrifice for him.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people felt that was what happened with the Cowboys in the last playoff game. If you really cared about McCarthy that much, wouldn't you give a better performance than y'all gave?
Yeah.
This season, isn't that what you're kind of hinging everything on this season with his the last remaining year of his contract? Is if all the players like you that much, you're going to win. They're going to go out there and win for you.
And my example is I liked him because he was my childhood manager, was Bobby Valentine. But the Mets I was on seemed to not like Bobby.
Okay.
And so because of that, we had talent. We had Piazza, Mo Vaughn, Robbie Alomar. Cliff Floyd at one point. We had a really good team, a lot of big time names, but it didn't seem like they liked Bobby. And so we just never really, it just didn't seem like that team wanted to sacrifice for one another. And so it was like, it was what it was. Like it was just not a team that was like willing to sacrifice for one another, which I think can happen if a manager is not good. And I'm not saying Bobby wasn't good. Obviously, he wasn't good in that situation. He got fired at the end of the year. It's because the players didn't really want to play for him. But then you brought in Art Howe, who was a super-duper players manager, but it didn't really change anything.
Yeah, and that's where whenever you're running an organization like that, that's the hard part of trying to figure out exactly what your club needs as you're going along. But the other thing with Jason Kidd, too, like that helps whenever you have that kind of respect that Mike's talking about. As a former player too, when you're trying to get these guys all on the same page, but then whenever you get doesn't it still feel kind of unreal that you have Klay Thompson?
Sure.
And I know everybody will be like, look, he's not the same. Look, he's still Klay Thompson though.
I want to pause on that because that timing of that is really funny. Cause I know they did the press conference yesterday, but driving into work today, going up 30, There's a billboard up now.
I saw one too on the way in. Yeah.
It says, welcome to Dallas, Clay. And it is in that moment, oddly, regardless of how long we've talked about it, that sometimes you're like, that is pretty neat.
Now, maybe it is real. Like the feeling that you're always getting your team. You're always getting that player a couple of years too late in their career. The superstar player, the guy who's been a star
Dallas
player.
Dallas loves to do that.
Yeah. I mean, and the Rangers did it for years. Like, hey, how can we benefit off having Sammy Sosa here for his 500th home run?
Andres
Absolutely.
Galarraga.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
There were lots of things that they were like, we can hit these milestones and we can sell it as a knight. But this is one of those moments where you're like, man, I never thought a player like that of that caliber would land here, even with Luka here. But here you are with Kai, who got traded here and then chose to stay. And now Clay, in addition to Luka, and I know everybody's always like, oh, Luka's leaving and everything. mean, it looks more like there's gravity coming to DFW than anything else. That's a big factor.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the hottest team in Major League Baseball. The Texas Rangers have won 5 straight. Let's talk with their manager, Bruce Bochy, right here on your home of the defending world champion Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, the hottest team in baseball right now. The Texas Rangers have won 5 straight. And you know what? Another thing that can be hot, if you're looking to spice up your game day grub, reach for the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce flavor favors the bold, and also brings to you Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon or good morning here. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. I know there's still plenty of work to be done, and every day is a new challenge, but is the air a little crisper? Are the birds a little sweeter to hear when you're on a winning streak?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. You sleep better. It's really been really cool to see how the guys have played here this past week and got on a good roll, playing more the brand of baseball that we're accustomed to. We're, getting those big hits. We're getting some slug. And pitching, we've talked about that. It's been pretty consistent all year. But the defense, what a great job they've done through all this. So, we got 4 more big games here before the break. And that's our goal, is to finish as strong as we can here to stay in this thing and make some ground.
I know a lot of positives to talk about on this team. And it doesn't matter who hits the home run. It will count the same. And the win counts as one win. But it felt like Adolis hitting what was the game-winning home run. That feels like a big deal, does it not?
It does. Last year we saw this a couple of times when he would go in a little bit of a slump and then he'd hit a home run. You could see him let out the emotion. He's been battling it, trying different things at the plate, trying to get on track, and there's no getting around it. We need the guy. The guy can carry us at times, but more than that, just be consistent up there, do his thing, drive in runs and provide the long ball. And when he doesn't go, it just makes it that much more difficult. Now you're leaning on, some other guys that really you should be, having to lean on. I'm talking about the back end of the order, things like that. I mean, Corey, you saw him get walked twice. And so that's why it's so important to have Dolly going. He just gives us another big bat in that lineup.
Bocho, I heard you talking a little bit about y'all's timing on the fastball and kind of finding that, being out in front of it a little bit more. And I was just kind of curious if you could elaborate a little more on what you were seeing before and what you're starting to see right now with the barrel finding the ball, right, in the fastball specifically.
Yeah, it's all about being on time with the fastball. And we, you know, just we're catching it too far back in the stance. You know, when you hit a pitch, for the most part, especially middle end, you know, you got to catch it out front a little bit. The head stays behind the ball. The swing's in front of the eye, so to speak. Now, the ball away, you're going to hit a little bit further back because, it's, you know, you're hitting to the opposite side.
Yeah.
But we were just late and fouling those balls off and missing pitches that we should be hitting. So, you know, hitting guys, been working on these guys. One thing, we did change our batting practice a little bit and just brought Beasley in a little bit closer, throw it a little bit firmer to, you know, to get them to be a little quicker to the ball. Now, sometimes you can get in some bad habits and maybe try to hit, play home run derby and BP. And I'm not saying they're doing that, but it's like soft toss. I mean, what I mean by soft toss in the cage, you know, they do that. Well, you can create some habits doing that too. So that's why it's good to hit off a machine sometimes with D-Lo and maybe just change some things up during your batting practice routine.
Well, whatever it's doing right now, it's looking good. We're loving it right now. I was kind of curious also, what was the most encouraging part from Max Scherzer's outing last night for you?
I love the way the guy competes. He gives up runs. We have a lead, and he came in, and here he was in the seventh. He just, you know, has a way of getting through things because of his experience. His stuff, but more his just competitive nature, and he was determined to keep us in that game and help us win that ball game. You know, he threw, I think, 93 pitches, so, you know, that's about his comfort now, I think, but he doesn't give in, he doesn't get down, he just has that great focus we talk about, no matter what happens. He got nicked up. A lot of times you've seen guys, you know, get frustrated or even get down, but that's not Max. You know, he's all about winning the game. And that's something that I think I've talked about before. But, you know, when we were younger, that was a big thing for a starting pitcher. You know, that's why you're out there, to win the game. It's not ERA. It's not all those numbers. It's getting a W. And, you know, now those starters don't quite get those W's like they used to. And I think that's taken away a little bit from, you know, that part of the game.
Yesterday, Boach, your all-star closer came in and is perfect still in those situations. I'd love for you to talk about, from a catcher's perspective, when you have a good reliever who's a fastball split finger guy, and then from a hitter's perspective, because it looked like at the end of the game there, Joe Adell was definitely waiting for another split finger and never got it and kept getting fastballs, and the last one went by him at 94 miles an hour. So can you kind of discuss having a split finger fastball guy as a reliever and how you know when a guy or when a hitter might be just looking for that split finger?
Yeah, and you know, everything's set up, and sometimes you have to do what we call reset and eye washing with the pitch. It may be that split down in the dirt to get them thinking about the split. Maybe, you know, the fastball off the plate a little bit or up, you know, to get them thinking fastball, then you go with the split, things like that when you're pretty much a two-pitch guy. But he does have a slider. But I'll say this about Kirby. He's basically fastball split, but the command of the fastball. I mean, did you see strike three on him last night in the game? It's just right on the black. Well, even if you're looking for that pitch, that's going to be tough to hit. So he's got remarkable command on both sides of the plate, and he's up and down too, or as they say now, north-south. But and then, of course, the split, there's a pretty big variance of speeds. And the split, when he throws it, it comes in. When they first see it, it looks like a fastball. That's why you're throwing the split. And so he does it as well as anybody as far as staying in that same tunnel, so to speak. And but you know, the first hitter, he actually hit a split well. Of course, he had two home runs too. Geez almighty, that guy's killing us. He's but you know, that's when Kirby has a ability to know what they're looking for. And he calls his own game out there, so he's got a good feel.
Not a newer addition to the pitching staff for you guys. I was hoping you could give the fans some insight to Daniel Robert, who he even said when he got called up, he was like, not that long ago, I was in high A. I was 27. I was thinking about quitting. And then when you see how far he's made it, that feels like an inspiring kind of story.
Really is. Because I heard the same thing. He was thinking about shutting it down. He was getting older. He had, you know, had a family to take care of. And thought maybe he was spinning his wheels. But this guy's got great stuff. And, you know, I wanted a little better landing. But the first game, you know, we had a 5-run lead. And I could have brought him in the ninth. It had been his first outing. I was a little concerned because I was trying to stay away from Yates. And once we used Robertson, you know, I would have had to get Yates up again. And so I went ahead and went with Sporzy there. But I'll get him in there. And what you're going to see, you're going to see a big fastball, first of all. I mean, he'll be 97 in that area. He may bump 98 or even 99. But a slider, it's a big pitch. And he's got good command of it. You know, it's... it's, you know, he can break it down a little bit, and he's got the sweeper a little bit. So he, you know, it's a different one there, and he, you know, mixing the change up. But he's a big guy with power stuff, and that works a high leverage situation.
You know, Boach, last year, a lot of times, you know, I'd ask you, when did you know about this team? And you would tell us, hey, it was spring training. Whenever I saw what they were all made of and they committed the work and everything. And I don't know if this year you've kind of learned a few more things along this year, but when this team, when all the players are playing at their best, is there anything that this team actually needs to add to it?
Yeah, and you know, see why I've talked about it. Yeah, we love this team. You know, gosh, we're getting JJ back, Josh Young after the break. You know, you look what Smitty's done. Now we got a guy that can play anywhere, including the outfield, give guys days off or, you know, come off the bench and pinch hit. I mean, I'm going to have to play him somewhere with what he's done. I'm still hoping that he'll make the All-Star team. But to your point, yeah, I mean, what position do we need help? You look, I mean, in the outfield, recovered. So, yeah, we really believe that this team can get back on track and do what they did last year, the pitching. We're getting help there. Hey, O'Malley had a good two innings yesterday. He's on his way. Bradford, he's spinning the ball. He's throwing his pin. So he's on a pretty fast track to come up here and help us. So we got help coming. So that's almost like making a move at the deadline when you get guys like that. And then you look at DeGrom. He's amazing. I mean, he threw some change-ups yesterday, or 2 days ago. But he's throwing easy. It's like 97, 98. So, you know, he's on his way, too. So, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, when you look at these guys, you know, over the past year and what your progress and where they're at now.
You had said, I believe it was yesterday, about DeGrom, that you're still a ways away with him. Is that just kind of an undefinable timetable right now? Does that mean like 2 months? Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, in a way, we like to keep it that way. A bit of pressure on him, but I'll say this, he's doing great. I mean, he's on change-ups now. He's going to be spending the year soon. We're right at the All-Star break, so... You know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, it could be a little bit sooner, but, you know, we're going to stay with the program, and he's letting it go, and, you know, it's only going to get better, and, you know, each time out, he's showing that he feels terrific, and so I think, you know, he's definitely pitching at some point here, you know, this year. I just don't want to give him a target date.
You talked about all the things that were really working for this team right now, and obviously one of them is the outfield. But I was curious about any possible updates on Evan Carter. Obviously, safe to say we're not seeing him before the All-Star break, but I haven't heard a whole lot about his, I guess, his rehab or comeback or anything lately. How's he looking?
Yeah, okay. The reason you haven't heard a lot, he hasn't been doing a lot, to be honest, but he did get another image, and that was great news. So didn't show anything, so we can start ramping him up again. So you'll start hearing more about him. But we kind of had to back off there and had a little concern that, you know, something was going on. But I think he's excited that didn't show anything. So he'll get back to doing baseball activities.
Excellent. Always love talking with you, Boach. Tell the guys that Metroplex is pumped, and good luck today.
Thanks. As always, I'll take any luck you send, and just keep rolling.
All right. Go get Rangers.
There you go. Bruce Bochy, right here on 105.3 The Fan. You're a jerk.
That's your thing, dude. You're go get Rangers. That's what you started it, and I think the rest of the country wants it.
Go get Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Everybody should be go getting Rangers right now.
So a couple things there. The thing that he said about DeGrom, I realize setbacks can happen, everything like that, but he goes,
he's awesome.
Yes, but also we're planning on him pitching for us this year. And so it's not we'll see how it goes. And he's like, yeah, no, we're planning on him pitching this year. And then what he just said about Evan Carter, it did feel like almost like a compliment sandwich in terms of, well, you haven't heard a lot about him because he's not doing a lot. But we did still get, so compliment half sandwich, we did still get really good news about the imaging, and you have the opportunity to start ramping Evan Carter back up.
Open
and,
face compliment.
Yes, yes. And so that definitely feels like good news. A lot of positive stuff in the Ranger space. Are you ready for just one negative? Hold on.
Here we are. Everything's going along.
Rangers
story. Kevin's just trying to pop a tire on us out of nowhere. Road trip's just fine. Then Kevin's like, you know what? Pow.
Yeah, pull over. I was driving down the road, and then Wander Franco was potentially talking to kids.
Yeah. That happened.
So he has officially been charged with, I mean, look, we talked about this, I don't know how many months ago, and it looked inevitable. He has been charged with sexual abuse, sexual exploitation against a minor, and human trafficking in the Dominican Republic. You know, that response is, I think that response is spot on, because you wouldn't think, like, after you heard sexual abuse, you would hear something even worse. And then they're like, but also he's being charged with human trafficking. He's been gone from the Rays for about a year, multiple investigations, and these are the charges as they stand right now. Through a press release, Dominican authorities indicate that in addition to the crimes of sexual abuse and exploitation against a minor, the human trafficking crime, if found guilty, could have a penalty of up to 20 years in prison. And that's aside from the sexual abuse and exploitation of a minor charges. So Obviously, if these go through the court system and he is found guilty, I mean, look, I know the justice system can be inconsistent, but that definitely feels like that's a guilty charge on these is a wrap for his career, either perception wise or you'll be in jail for the rest of your playing career wise.
Yeah, he had just signed a $180 million contract.
Yes. How does that affect Tampa? Like, how does that, do they like?
It hurts them for their future because they don't have any money, but they get that money back.
Okay.
You don't pay a person. Like, you have a lot of protections as a Major League Baseball player, but you do not have the protection of you get paid when you've done this.
Gotcha. Okay. I appreciate that.
And like, just outside of that, that's the dude. Like, you paid him because this was going to be who you built your franchise around.
That is proving to be that guy. He's Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr., Wander Franco. Those were the three future shortstops of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and instead now you're like, I mean, if you're close to him, and I'm assuming some of his teammates are very, very close to him, like, what is his future? Just like surviving and you know, is his life going to be spent in prison?
Right.
Did he do these things? Is like all these questions come across. But then you have the baseball perspective of Tampa Bay is like, this is one of the dudes we were building around and he could be done. Like, it feels like
he's
done at this point, but we'll see what happens next in this case. But yeah, it's a crap situation. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Sorry for bringing people down. Just thought that was relevant information. Now, always relevant information. It's time for Mike Likes It.
Oh, yeah, girl.
Well, I will start off with, man, I'll tell you what, these tennis players, they don't get ugly girlfriends.
They do not.
So it looks like Musetti.
You're looking at Fritzy's girlfriend?
I don't know. I don't know which. Both boxes have beautiful girl in it.
Fritz's girlfriend is blonde, and she made a lot of news in the last couple of days by perhaps making reference to somebody he just beats off on the beat.
Whoa.
In, no.
Oh. You mean Morgan Riddle?
Son of a gun.
Reggie, you weren't listening.
Somebody he defeated.
Yeah, you should definitely,
Reggie, go ahead and mark about listening. 30 seconds ago, we have the
winner for the week.
Yeah, it's over.
Okay, all right. I will take
because
your word
for it. There's a tennis player who's doing some crazy things off the court.
What?
Off the court, and what I should have said is he defeated Zverev.
Off the court.
On the court.
Defeated's a much better word.
And then the girlfriend was apparently supposedly making references to Zverev's off-the-court problems is the way I wish I would have phrased that sentence.
Completely wrong, and then you stopped the sentence after saying
the pause was terrible, the verbiage was terrible.
From the 972 market and from the 214 Masterpiece of the Week.
And there's one of our bosses! That... Yeah. You see what I was trying to say, though, right?
So Musetti's going to beat Fritz. So once again, Italy defeats the United States. Maybe that's where Kawhi
Leonard is. Wait, what do you mean once again? Are you talking about other tennis matches? Because we won.
Oh, really?
World War II.
That is true. But, I mean, they won the Battle of Italian Food.
Oh, my gosh. Culinary style? I'll take theirs every day.
Yeah. They know how
we got some people here that are that can make Italian food, but
sure.
I think I'm going to Italy in October.
What?
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Are you pumped?
Very excited.
Is this for business or pleasure?
Oh man. Did somebody just get
you
hurt?
Gonna get a man-sized manicotti?
A what?
You gonna eat some cannolis?
I guess, if that's what they make. Is that pasta?
A lot of tiramisu gonna happen.
A lot of tiramisu.
Okay, I'll eat it. I think we're drinking a lot of wine.
How long are you going to be gone? I don't know if this is an off-air conversation or not. Wow. Okay.
Get some salami.
I do like salami.
Is that an Italian thing?
Sure, yeah. Meats.
All right. I thought that was like Arby's.
A salami at Arby's?
Well, we have the meats.
They do have.
I thought that's where they got it.
Yeah, but I think it's like mostly the roast beefs.
Maybe some
that's, you know what?
Beef at times.
I mean, putting it all together, that's where Bruce Bochy says that he could crush some roast beefs and cheddars.
I don't even know what that means anymore.
I know neither.
Yeah, why'd you
I'm just caught up with people are like, I just tuned in for my lunch break, and this is the content that you're bringing me.
Well, all right.
No. Not your content. What I said. I apologize.
And your
for
content.
That.
Yeah, well, all right. So you say go get Rangers.
Uh-huh.
I say in Mike Likes
It, go get Rangers.
Go get Marlins.
Oh.
All right, so I want to bring up two people that I think, remember yesterday, Corey, you talked about what could they do, this and that. I said something easy to do is go get a left-handed reliever that helps you out. And I'll re-mention this. Brock Burke just hasn't worked out since 2022. I don't know what happened to him. He was very good in 22. He just hasn't been ever since. And then Jacob Latz has been put in a situation that's probably too much for him at this point. He needs to be more like your seventh, eighth reliever rather than your third or fourth reliever at times. Now Spores is back. Leclerc got out of a big situation yesterday in the seventh inning. But A.J. Puk. Now, if you just go look at him, he's 29 years old, and he has an ERA that's just gotten under 5 for the first time all year. Set a 4.97. So you're going to be like, why do I want this guy? Well, he's 6'7", 250 pounds. He has been pitching great ever since they took him out of the rotation early in the year. I'm going to give you his June numbers. In relief, he had a 2.45 ERA. He was 2-2. Obviously, wins and losses aren't a big deal as a reliever. Sure. And he had three holds. He had a 2.45 ERA in 14 and two-thirds innings. He had 15 Ks to two walks. So he pitched well. In July right now, he only has three appearances, but in his three innings, he has no walks, five Ks, and a zero ERA with a hold on a horrible team. I think they've only won 27 games. So what I'm bringing up here is this is a guy who has this year and I believe two more years of control until he becomes a free agent. So this would be a guy you could trade for and you would have him in your bullpen after this season is over for the next 2 years. So all of a sudden you get a big, long, 6'7" lefty that throws in the high 90s out of your bullpen.
Right.
So this would be a guy that I would love to pick up and I don't think would cost you a lot. Now, here's the next guy I would like to get. I don't want to just trade for the Marlins and get one guy. I want to trade for the Marlins and get two guys. Now, this is going to cost me a little bit more. But they have another lefty who is having a tremendous season overall. And that is Tanner Scott, is their closer.
Okay.
He has 13 saves and a 1.42 ERA this year for a horrible team. So he's been pretty good for a while. Last year with the Marlins, in 74 games pitched, he had a 2.31 ERA, a whip of under one. So you're looking at a guy, last year he had 104 strikeouts.
Wow.
So this dude is a stud. So now he is going to cost you a little bit more, but maybe not a whole bunch more, because if I have his service time right, he's a free agent at the end of the year. So this would be a short-term pickup, and Puck would be a long-term pickup. Now, I don't know what you could do with Tanner Scott at the end of the year. He's 29 years old. Now, he did go to a Texas school. I think when I was looking him up, he went to Howard. Okay. I don't think that's
Scott or Puck?
Tanner Scott went to Howard College in Big Spring, Texas.
Yes.
A.J. Puck, I remember, I loved him out of the University of Florida. He was drafted very high, first round, top 10 pick by the Oakland Athletics in 2016. I'm surprised he wasn't better, but he would be a great left-handed reliever that you would have for this season, plus two more, so that's not, and he's going to cost you $5 to $8 million on his arbitration number. I think that's very doable for your future. Tanner Scott, I'm trying to scroll down as fast as I can to Baseball Reference.
Tanner Scott, it says, according to Wikipedia, graduated from Howland High School in Howland Township, Ohio.
Okay.
Is that what you were remembering?
Well, no, he got drafted out of Howard College in Big Spring, Texas. So, okay. But that helps out, Reggie. He isn't from Texas. I thought maybe that would be even something more. He'd be like, oh, this is awesome. But at least he did go to college here.
They only have baseball and basketball at Howard, by the way.
Okay. He signed through 2024, earliest free agency 2025. So I guess you, as far as I'm reading that correctly, he would be a free agent.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, but go get Marlins. If you got those two guys, just think of if you're going to make a run and you get, especially like, I know you're, it's you can't do this now, but you're about to play the Houston Astros, Yordan Alvarez. You look at Kyle Tucker. You just look at those situations. If you were to make the playoffs and you play the Yankees and Juan Soto's having a great year and you have A.J. Puck and Tanner Scott at the back end of your bullpen with David Robertson and Kirby Yates and you have that four-pack of guys, now Leclerc and Spores become your sixth-inning guys that you use. Robertson and your two lefties are kind of your seventh, eighth-inning guys, and Kirby Yates is still your closer. But if you feel better in the eighth inning, you got out, let's just say A.J. Puck comes in, the seventh inning, A.J. Puck comes in against the Yankees. I'm making up a series. Let's go with the Orioles. A.J. Puck comes in and he gets out Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman to end the seventh. And then coming up is Santander, the Westberg, who's their third baseman. Who's
just got all-star. Yeah.
And you bring in and you put Kirby Yates in the game there.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, they got three. Now, Kirby Yates is good against lefties too, so that doesn't matter. He's good against everybody. But do you understand what I'm doing here? Is I'm now creating arguably the best bullpen you could possibly have. So I think you got to trust that your hitting is going to come along and keep doing what they're doing recently. But if I make a trade and I go get Tanner Scott and I go get A.J. Puck from the Florida Marlins, And one of them gets to stay with me, I know, for the next couple of years. The other one I'm hoping I can re-sign in the offseason, at least one of them, whether it's Kirby Yates or Tanner Scott. I would love to have both of them back, but Tanner Scott is going to be 30 years old on July 22nd. He still has a lot of time left. For Kirby sure. Yates, I love, but I don't know how much time he has left in his career. But I think those could be two major pickups, not only for this season, but possibly for the next couple years. So go get Marlins, two lefty relievers that could really help out. My last Mike likes it. This isn't so much of a like, but it's an update. Is there are way better photos and videos of the thieves at the Dallas Card Show. This was on Good Morning America. It's in the New York Times. It's on USA Today.
CBS,
it's
main sports.
It's everywhere. This has become a national story everywhere. We were just there Friday at the Dallas Card Show doing the show. And on Sunday afternoon, there were thieves that stole $1 million+ worth of cards. Mickey Mantle rookies, Willie Mays rookies, Jackie Robinson rookies. I mean, they knew what they were doing. Supposedly, they were around that table for the weekend. So they scouted it out very well to know exactly what they needed to steal to get millions of dollars possibly.
So I'm glad that you brought this up, Mike, because I've heard some people asking, like, how exactly this can happen. It was during teardown. Like, they finish up the show on Sunday. It's a huge endeavor. Lots of people bring lots of cards, showcases, everything like that. So everyone was tearing things down, and they had three different people working on it. Two as distractions with the people who were running the table, and another one to actually take the cards, and under the guise of he was pretending to set up chairs. And you're probably, Mike, to your point, I don't mean this in a positive way. That's probably a smart way to set the seeds or sow the seeds of what you were planning by being like, oh, we're just another vendor just like anybody else.
Or we're helping clean up. We've been hired to clean up. You don't know who the cleanup crew is at a hotel.
And you're probably not
hotel clothing,
staring at them the entire time. And so while people were putting things back in boxes or loading them in cases and stuff, all of these high-level cards were contained, or a lot of them, in this one box that was easy enough for this person to just pick up and walk away with from. So it's really sad because you would think, like, hey, maybe I can just trust.
Look, I saw people at the show that supposedly I've ruined their lives, and they seem to be doing plenty of business, and I know who they are, and I know the business that they do. There's nothing you can do about the people in this world that steal. So it's tough. There's really bad people out there. I mean, let's be honest. Sounds like Wander Franco is a really bad person.
Yeah.
So they can be professional athletes. They can just be normal people owning a business. They can be people that you think are good people, and they're really not. They're very good at disguising that, you know, they say they're wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
And I think that they took advantage of two young men. I mean, I call them kids. I've seen them at the show for years. Yeah. And those kids do a great job with that collection. But there were four older guys that figured, hey, I'm going to guess they're in their early 20s, those kids. And they took advantage of them. And it doesn't mean that I couldn't be taken advantage of. There's times where you're talking to somebody and it's very tough. In fact, I think from now on, I'll end it with this. I think if you have a collection that's worth, let's say, something that's so valuable to you that you're going to put out in a showcase and then pack up, and at times you're going to have conversations where you don't have eyes on it, I think you should probably hire a security person that you believe in, $500 a day.
Yeah.
Pay them $1,500. Because right now they're asking for, they're going to give $70,000 if people can identify who these people were or are. And they're going to give $70,000 if somebody will identify these people. But if I pay $1,500 a show where these people, your whole job is you are looking at people and looking at these things. You never take your eye off. You're never distracted. We're going to have conversations about doing deals. And I can't have that conversation while making sure nobody is touching this stuff over here. So I do think that people should probably hire their own security, because there's not enough security at the Dallas Card Show. And I don't know if Kyle, who runs it, could hire enough people. But you probably need to hire your own private security if you're going to be, because you just don't think of it. You look at those cards. But I know that. I was like, there has to be at least $1 million here. And there's more than that because they didn't steal the whole collection. The whole collection's probably worth $5 million that they bring to that show.
Yeah. Oh, they knew what they wanted. I mean, they locked in pretty tight on what they wanted.
With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
What's your favorite saying for when the pressure's on? And does Bucky's deserve a song this good? Next on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.